that, but they think it's all right to shed a little tear when it's George Jones, you know, or somebody shedding a tear in their beer or something like that. That stuff is all right. But this crying over Jesus, they think that's not manly. It's as manly as you'll ever get. Amen? Amen. Amen. So he says in here in Isaiah 63, verse 1, he says, who is this? Who is this? This fellow we was just singing about, that's who it is. And I preach to you, I've used this verse of Scripture several times when we're talking about the second coming, because that's what this chapter is talking about. There's no question about that. The second coming. But I'm going to preach it in regards to his first coming. I'm going to preach it in regards to the results of his first coming. I want to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you say, well, we've known him for years. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? And I'm not trying to call it into question. I just want to point out some things to you that you may not know. Before we even read this, over in Matthew chapter 8, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just give you an overview of really Matthew chapter 1 through 8. And I'll try to do that as quickly as I possibly can. But in Matthew chapter 8, is really the capstone on a larger story. But between chapter 1 and chapter 8, here's what happens in a nutshell. Jesus is born, of course. We can't skip that part. And all the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, so to speak, and all this stuff takes place. And then Jesus is baptized, and he's then taken into the wilderness and tempted by the devil. And then like a whirlwind, he comes through town and starts recruiting fellas. Hey, follow me. And I don't know if you ever thought about the way that took place, but here's these fellas mending their nets, and here comes this man walking by and says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And it don't seem like he stood there and talked them into it or twisted their arm. They just got up and followed him. And then so he came through in a whirlwind and recruited them all. And next thing you know, they're preaching to a bunch of, Jesus is preaching to them and preaches to them and preaches to them. And the Sermon on the Mount, you know, that's right there in the first part of Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter number 8, he tells them to get on a boat. So he's recruited them and sermonized them and made them set sail all before they even knew really who they was dealing with. Because when they got out there on that sea and the storms began to blow, and it looked like that this storm that come up was going to blow out the candle of life, they get up and said, hey, we're going to die here. Don't you care? We're about to perish. Hey, what in the world's going on? We're fixing to die. And just like I might holler at my dogs when they get to barking at night, he got up and looked out there and said, lay down out there and be still. The Bible says in Matthew 8, he rebuked the wind. He didn't say, you lovely winds and waves, would you please lay down? He said, hey, shut up out there. And the Bible says that storm laid down at his feet. Everything got peaceful and everything got quiet. And you know what them men, these men are already riding with him. And they said, what manner of man is this? Who is this? I bet there's been times in your life you've been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and going about living your life and doing all this stuff you thought was just normal everyday Christianity. But when the storms begin to blow and you saw how that God was able to calm your storms, you said, what manner of man is this that I've got caught up with? What in the world is it? How is this possible that he could touch a body and heal it without even apparently being in the room? Of course, we know that God is everywhere. We understand that. But man, he didn't send a telegram. He didn't send a messenger. He didn't send anything. He just spoke right to my situation and made that thing lay down and be still. What manner of man is it? That's exactly what this world needs, because I'll tell you this, CNN and Fox News is not going to figure it out. And listen, the people that caused the mess, the people that caused the mess in this world that's going on right now are the same people that decided you had to lose an hour of sleep last night. Amen. I don't think the government ought to have nothing to do with what time it is. Amen. I think we can figure that out for ourselves, can't we? But we do got a Savior that can turn back time. We've got a Master that created the sun. He knows exactly how it works. One time old Joshua in the Old Testament needed just a little bit more time to finish up whooping up on the enemy. And God said, well, just let the sun stand still over here and the moon stand still over there, and we'll just hold this day up for a little while. Hey, what manner of man is this? They were talking about the winds and waves obeying him. Hey, the sun, the moon, the stars obey him as well. And what use is it trying, you know, if you look on the internet, there's some crazy stuff out there. There's some people still trying to figure out whether the earth is flat or round. Hey, forget about whether the earth is flat or round if you can't figure out something like that. And just get to know the one that made it. I think it'll be all right. Amen. Think that'll be fine. And this verse of scripture said, it says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Now you remember I've told you this story before. I even illustrated on the board. When the Lord comes back physically to this earth, there's really, I mean literally, going to be hell to pay. They're talking about these dyed garments. If you turn over to the book of Revelation, if you study the second coming, you know that this garment is going to be, we know that the Lord's garments are white. We know that they're clean. We know that they're fine linen. We know that. But they're dyed in the blood of the people that he comes to judge. And so he's talking about that in this particular instance. And he says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness. Now this is the answer. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Who is this? They said, well, it's me. Well, it's me. And that's usually all he had to say. When he rose from the dead and Mary came down to the garden to anoint his body, all she had to hear was his voice. Mary? And she knew exactly who it was. She knew exactly. Listen, when Jesus told the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am, they recognized who I am was right away. And so they say, who is this that's got this glorious apparel? He's traveling in greatness of his strength. He says, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. He don't even have to tell his name. You know who he is. Amen. Listen, some of you looking to try to find out where your next problem's going to be solved at. Well, just the Lord that speaks in righteousness. That's the one that's going to take care of it. You know, one of the shames about religion is that a lot of people will go to the pastor before they even go to the Lord. Amen. Now, the Lord gave you pastors and teachers and evangelists for your establishment. He gave it to you as the Bible says, it's a gift for your establishment. And you can use that. You can use that resource all that you want to. You can talk to the preacher all that you want to. But listen, you also have a relationship with the Lord if you've been saved. If you've been saved, you can go right directly to the throne of grace, that you can obtain a grace to help in the time of need. Amen. You can do that. And listen, a lot of times we'll go to the preacher, or we'll go dig up some book somewhere and try to find out what Dr. So-and-so said about certain situation. And we do everything in the world but go right to the source. Go right to the source. Amen. You say, why? Because he's mighty to save. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I thought I'd just use this second advent, this second coming passage, just to introduce you, just to give you an idea about who it is that we say that we serve. Who is this? Who is this, he says, that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? So first of all, let me say that this is a man that's on his way to the promised land. I told you this, and when we put it on the board, the Lord comes down to the earth in a certain place, and he comes up through Bozrah, and he comes up through this place. He said, dyed garments from Bozrah. He's on his way to Edom. He's on his way to pick up the Jews in Salopetra. They're hiding out because the Antichrist is trying to kill them. Well, one of these days, these people in their worst distress, the Bible says the time of the tribulation is going to be the worst time that there ever has been since the world began until the world ends. There's never going to be a time as bad as the time that those Jews are going to be living in over there, hiding out in the rocks of Salopetra. And one day they're going to look out and they're going to see this man coming across from Bozrah. Salopetra's on one side of a big old ravine, and Bozrah is on the other side. And one day they're going to be looking out and this man's going to walk across the valley. Amen. And the Bible says, now listen, right now you look at it, you pull it up on Google Maps, if you got that kind of technological expertise, and you can look down, you can see right between Petra and Bozrah, just a big old dry ravine, just nothing there. One of these days them Jews are going to need some water, and down through that little dry riverbed is going to come water enough to take care of millions. If the Lord can do it out of one little rock, he can certainly do it out of a dry ravine. But I think one of these days they're going to be looking out over that river, over there towards Bozrah, their eyes are going to be drawn in that direction, because there's probably going to be a smoke rising up out of the city where the Lord done walked through it and smashed it with his feet. But at any rate, they're going to be looking over there to see what's going on, and they're going to see a man in red garments walking across that water over there. He might walk across it, or it might get out of his way. I don't know. When they brought the Ark of the Covenant up to the Jordan River, it just got out of their way. It just parted up there. Just as soon as the priest's feet hit the water, that water said, whoop. You say, I don't believe that. No, but you believe in Star Wars and Return of the Jedi and all that stuff. You sit there and watch that like you believe it's so. Well, if you ain't got a God that can split water, you ain't got no God. Amen. Well, I tell you what, he's going to walk across there, and they're going to be looking. They say, who is this? Who is this? Well, I tell you who it is. In one aspect, it's a man that's on his way to the promised land. He's going to pick up those Jews and go up there. Listen, anybody that's going to the promised land, I want to follow them. Amen. I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you intend to go. If you'd have heard the sermon on Wednesday night, you'd have said not to make no plans for tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth anyway. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If I plan out tomorrow to the best of my ability, I know my plans are going to change. When I was in the Marine Corps, they told us this. You make a plan for battle, and as soon as the battle starts, you make a different plan, because it ain't never going to go according to plan. Amen. You make a battle just so you can be prepared for what might happen or for what could happen. But once a battle starts, you change the plan immediately, because everything ain't going to go the way you thought it was. Amen. I don't know what you think you're going to do tomorrow. I don't know what you think you might do next year or the year after that. A lot of times they'll get like their the world will get like they're smart, and they'll say, now where do you think you'll be in 10 years? Lord have mercy. I ain't planned out the rest of the day yet, let alone where I'm going to be in 10 years. There ain't no use. If the Lord wills, I'll do this or that. That's what we learned from the book of James out of the Bible. But I know this. This one thing I do know. This is the one thing that I absolutely know above all other things, is that my Savior is on the way to the promised land. He's going to come back here one day. He's going to take us to the promised land one day. And I'm going with him. Oh, that's a bunch of backwoods religion. That's a bunch of old superstition. It's better than what you got going on right now. It's better than what the world has going on right now. The world has school shootings. You think I'm worried about you thinking I'm weird for thinking the Lord's coming back? While you're running and hiding from gunmen, shooting stuff up, you think I'm worried that you think I'm backwoods because I believe in this blessed old book? Listen, when people lived according to this blessed old book, there weren't no school shootings. Amen? Amen. I'll tell you this, there won't be no school shootings in the New Jerusalem either. Amen? So I'm going where he's going. Who's this? This is Jesus leading us to the promised land. Amen? This is a man on his way to the promised land. A man that's going the right way. Let me ask you this morning, you going the right way? I wouldn't profess to know everything about this man that's on his way to the promised land, but I know this, he's going the right way. I know that my life, when I started following the Lord, took a turn for the better. Amen. I know that I'm not everything that I should be. I'm not everything that I ought to be. Now listen, pastor or not, Bible believer or not, Baptist or not, I know I'm not everything that I ought to be right now, but I know this, I'm following the man that's leading me in the right direction. Boy, this people, this modern day American society, we're not following no man. We're not following nobody. Listen, I'd be glad to follow somebody that's even following Jesus. Paul said, be ye followers of me as I'm followers of Christ. This generation right here is so independent, they won't even follow their mamas and daddies. Amen. The school teachers and the college professors and the politicians are trying their best to make you hate your ancestors, to hate your heritage, to hate everything about what used to be in this country. Listen, back in the day when the people of this country believed this book, it's not so much that they were just religious or that they was Baptist. They was following the man that was going the right way. Amen. And listen, when they followed their preachers, they followed preachers that was going the right way for the most part. I believe that. But listen, I'm not trying to follow the government nowhere. I mean, they make the rules, and I understand everything about that. And I'm not out trying to, you know, stand against this or that. But what I am trying to stand against is people following this world into a ditch. The Bible says the gate that leads to destruction is wide, and many there be that go in thereat. I don't want to go in that gate. No, sir. Listen, you don't have to look very hard right now to look around and see that that's true. Everything that this world touches right now is turning into ash. Every plan that they make turns around and backfires on them, don't it? Well, I tell you what, you know, they said back in the 70s, and I remember this very well, they said back in the 70s, all this religion don't produce nothing but hate. All religion don't produce nothing. Well, religion might produce hate and violence, but Christianity produces love down in your heart. Amen? So they tried to turn everybody away from that, and now all they got is hatred and strife. Have you turned up? Listen, I don't have television, but I know this exists. You turn on your television in the daytime, and you don't see nothing but these Dr. Phil shows where families are at one another's throats, and you see where people have been cheated by this con man and that con man, and you see where this little boy has killed his family and this little girl's killed her mother. Boy, you didn't used to hear about stuff like that when people was following the man that was going the right way. Amen. I recommend whoever this is, and you know as well as I do who it is, you better get behind him and follow him. It's a safe place. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. He said if you'd run into it, you'd be safe. Get inside there and just be still. Let him handle the situation. Amen? It's a man that's going the right way, and he's picking up the wayward along the way. Hey, you need some help? You know what the Lord said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Ain't it about time you got some rest? Hey, after losing an hour of sleep last night, you probably need some real physical rest right now. But I'm talking about rest for your souls. You'll find rest for your souls. Not many people in this day has rest in their souls. They can lay down sleep 12 hours and still wake up on edge. Still wake up on edge. I stopped a boy picking up his clothes in the middle of the street down there. You wouldn't believe a little old town like Homeland got a bunch of thugs and hoodlums running around in it, but it do. Amen. I stopped on a boy. There was a boy standing in the middle of the street picking up his clothes. I got out. I said, what in the world's wrong? He said, nothing. What do you mean nothing? You're picking up your clothes out of the street. I'm all right. I'm straight. Are you? That's weird. If you're picking up your clothes out of the street, when some lady's done throwed all your junk out there, everything is not all right. But people believe, oh, I ain't got no worries, man. You're a fool then. It's time to worry when your clothes are in the street. Amen? It's time to worry. But people, listen, the bad thing about this modern day society is people don't even know they've got it bad. The high schools has taught them to act like animals to the point where everything's all right. You know, dogs sit around and scratch an old flea. He acts like that's normal. It ain't normal.
Right.
It's not normal.
Right.
Amen. You know, when your life is falling apart and your wife's leaving or your husband's leaving and your finances are all gone and everything's in ruins, it's time to worry. You should have been worried a long time before that. Amen. As long as, listen, I tell you what, the greatest blessing you'll ever have is to find out that you're nothing but a wayward old sinner who needs to follow the right man. Amen. And here he is. Here he is. He said, who is this? It's a man that's headed for the promised land. It's a man going the right way. And then he says this, it's a man that's glorious in his apparel. A man glorious in his apparel. Now, why in the world would they put something in here about what he was wearing? Let's look back here in Isaiah. Turn back to chapter 59. Chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. God looked around and said, hey, nobody making intercession. Nobody's praying for these people. Nobody's looking after these people. There's no hope for these people. You know what? This world produces its gods just like that. They're looking constantly. They put the Pope up. There's no help, no help in him. No hope in the Pope is the old bumper sticker. Well, they've set up these men and call them gods, Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius. And you know what? The world just keeps on getting worse and worse and worse. Then they put up stuff like Republicans and Democrats and all this kind of stuff. And the world just keeps getting worse and worse. And the Lord looks down and said, boy, I don't like the idle shepherd. I don't like the shepherd that just sits around, pretends like he's watching over everybody, but he ain't. So he said, I think I'll do something about it myself. Isn't that a blessing? He said, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with the zeal, with zeal as a cloak. The Lord got some clothes here. The Bible says in the other chapter that we read, he was glorious in his apparel. He was glorious in his apparel. And here it said that he, well, I could just sum up this verse I just read to you like this. These are work clothes. Amen. It wasn't a three-piece suit. It wasn't a tuxedo that he's got on. He said he put on righteousness as a breastplate. You say, what is that? That's glorious apparel. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel. You say, what you wear a suit to church for on Sunday for? Because this is my uniform, amen? This is my work clothes. This is my work clothes. When I go work in my garden, I wear blue jeans. I don't wear a suit. When I go fix somebody's leaky roof, I don't put on my tuxedo and my shiny patent leather shoes, amen? I put on the clothes that's needed for the situation, amen? And so he says this, who is this that is glorious in his apparel? This ain't no flat brim, ghetto, saggy pants wearing Savior, amen? This ain't no hippie tie-dyed Savior that's trying to be cool and hip so everybody will like him, amen? Listen, it's you that's supposed to like him. It's you that's supposed to like him. It's not him that's supposed to impress you.
Right.
Amen? It's you that's supposed to live up to him. I mean, that's very hard to do. But listen, you ought to be striving to make an impression on him. He don't have to strive to make an impression on you. You know what? It makes no sense to me that churches in this day and time, they're disguising themselves as the world in order to help the world. Well, don't you think that, listen, they're already doing it. They already look that way. They already act that way. They already drink that way. They already smoke that way. They already drink themselves stupid that way. They're already living the lifestyle. That's why they need the help, amen? They don't need you to act like them in order to help them. Technically, the world's converting the church. Amen? You say, I don't think what you wear matters. I think it does. I think it, you know what's the funny thing to me? The only time people get worried about clothes and how you look and how you dress, and the only is when it concerns God. You know the devil changes your fad about every 6 years and you go along with it willingly. You're not still wearing bell bottoms, are you? I mean, you might be. I think that came back a couple years ago, but I think it's already passed again. But about every 6 years, you know, it'll change from holes in the blue jeans to parachute pants. And then it'll change to, you know, it'll show up in the hairstyle and you have to get curly. You have to get I remember back in the 80s, you remember this? When the boys was getting curly permanents in the back of their hair. You say, how do you know? Because I got one. I let my mama put one on me one time. That's probably why God made all the hair fall out on the back of my head. My mama said, come in here and sit down in this chair. I said, I done let my hair grow out a little bit. And she didn't like that none. And she was just about to whoop me, but I think she got wise. She said, come in here and sit down. I'm going to work on your hair a little bit. Oh, and I was kind of mad about that, but I sat down. She started working. Next thing you know, she's putting this glop and this goo back there. I said, what you doing? And before I know it, she had done made me sit there and put that stuff in my hair. She said, you want to look like a girl? There you go. Amen.
Amen.
You know what? That didn't hurt her feelings at all. You know, this day and age, if a parent tries to stand up against what their kids is doing and the kid gets upset about the parent sits and weeps over it for 6 weeks, I've hurt his feelings. You ain't hurt his feelings. You've taught him something about life and something about living. You ain't got to be that kid's friend first. You be his mom and daddy. Make sure he stays out of prison. That's where the help come from, amen? Well, he said he was glorious in his apparel. He wasn't just trying. Listen, what I was trying to say is this. About every 6 years, the devil will say, this ain't cool no more. And everybody in the world, like they got a memo, will start wearing the same. Oh, yeah. We've all got to, you know, wear parachute pants, or we've got to roll up our cigarettes in our T-shirt sleeves like in the 50s. And just the whole world will go after a certain style just because the devil said so. You said, how do you know the devil said so? It come through Hollywood, didn't it? Listen, Baptist, I ain't following no man. But when Brad Pitt changes his clothing style, all you fellas seem to do it. I remember just about 8 or 9 years ago, all these fellas started coming to church with sideburns. I mean, all the way down the side of their face. Where'd that come from? Did that come from Elijah? Did Jesus send you a letter and say, hey, start? Listen, I don't care what you wear. I don't care what your facial hair looks like. But listen, is it where'd you get that from?
Right.
Who told you to do it? And listen, regardless of that, I don't care about that. Don't care what you wear. But isn't it all right for the Lord to say, hey, this modesty is better than immodesty? Can't you change it? I mean, what I'm saying is people who, some of us have been alive long enough to have changed worldly fads, worldly fashions, 7 or 8 times already, but have never changed our apparel one time. We've never changed the way we look one time because of the influence of God. Yeah. I ain't going to do that. Can't nobody tell me how to. And you ain't made a decision about what you've wore since 1970. Y'all remember the 70s, don't you? Y'all do remember the, how many of you remember the 70s? Boy, that's the ugliest decade that's ever been. But people went right along with it. That's how strong it is. The devil said, wear your collar. On the outside. And look like a total moron. Y'all remember them suits in the 70s? Your collar went on the outside. And people went right along with that. But if you say, hey, how about your dress coming down below your knees? Oh, I can't do that. You can do this, but you can't. What's wrong with you? Huh? That don't make a lot of sense, does it? How about that? The Bible says Jesus said, who is this man? This is a man that's glorious in his apparel. If he got his work clothes on, they good work clothes. Amen. If he's got his worship clothes on, they're good. Go back and read the Old Testament. They had uniforms for that. Amen. Well, this day and time, people got used to making their own decisions. Well, if I'm going to follow a fad, I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. Get my work clothes on. He said, glorious in his apparel. Listen, he said, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I'm glad God's got the strength. Amen. I'm glad God's got power. You know what this world is riding around with today? They're riding around defeated. I mean, everybody's a victim this day and time. And don't get me wrong about what I'm about to say, because I'm not for kids bullying one another and stuff like that. I'm not for that. But it seems like this day and time, Lord, if you even say something out of the way that somebody don't like, oh, you're bullying me. You're being a verbal bully. Would you please grow up?
Yeah.
Would you please get some strength? Listen, in this world, let me tell you a great truth about this world. This world is unfair. It's as unfair as the day is long. And you know what's wrong with people? They're not really bullies. They're not really bullies. They're just thinking about themselves, that's all. They're not thinking about you. You know how you stop bullying? You stop people from thinking about themselves and trying to please themselves. And you say, well, how do you do that? Get them saved. This man right here. This man that travels in strength. You know what is the great thing about a man with real strength? A man with real strength tries to use that strength to help other people. You know what happened with me when I was a little boy? I didn't have much strength. I got beat up about every day at the bus stop. And one day at the bus stop, this boy named Chris, he beat me up about every day. And one day him and his little brother got involved in it, and they was beating me up good. But one thing that I didn't know was my mama had already talked to this man that she had grew up with, right side by side of him, and that boy lived right behind the bus stop. That man lived right behind the bus stop, and that man come up there that day, and he had a big old beard. It stuck out to about here. I mean, his beard was curlier and thicker than any afro you ever seen in your entire life. And so he come up here, and he's got this big old, and he's about this wide, and he looked like one of them bread trucks. You remember one of them old breads? And so he come walking up through there, and he grabbed that one kid and throwed him like this, and then he grabbed that other bigger boy, and he slung him up against the wall, and he said, boy, if you ever touch this boy again, I'm going to kill all of y'all. I thought he was talking to me too. I was like, you better not touch me no more. So I got scared, but you know what I enjoyed? I said, boy, that fella right there got some power. Wasn't nobody going to mess with him. I mean, he was just about as old as my mother. And so he wasn't in school. And I mean, I'm sure he'd be locked up if he'd done that today. But this was 1970 something. But I looked at that fella and I said, that fella's got some power right there. He can just throw people around. I said, I'd like to grow up and be that big. I never have grown up to be that big. And I never will, amen. Now, there could be 3 of me and I wouldn't be that big. But you know what I noticed was the power to take care of a situation. Yes, sir. I said, you know, I'd like to be that way. I'd like to be that way. And I wasn't that way that year or the next year, and I never got that big. But it took me, I guess I was about in the sixth grade at that time, maybe the seventh grade. But it took me to the ninth grade till I ever got the nerve to say, you know what, I think I'll just try to start throwing people around. They come up and pick on you. In the ninth grade, kids still picking on one another like that. And one morning they started thumping me in the back of the head on the way to school. One of them did it, and I happened to smack his hand like that. And boy, that made him mad. Well, you better not hit me. You better not touch. You hear you thumping me, man? Leave me alone. Well, in the hallway that morning, one of them come up behind me and started fussing. I'm going to do this. You know, probably wouldn't have been no problem, because most of the time just, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And that's usually just talk, but I wasn't enjoying it none. So that day I thought, well, here's my chance to be like that neighbor of mine. And so I, pow, hit him right in the jaw, and down he went. And I stood there in stunned amazement. He went down. So I got involved in that fight. And you know what? That ain't nothing to brag about. And I'm not really trying to brag about. I'm just saying that the biggest lesson I ever learned in this life is you're going to have to choose to be a victim, or you're going to have to choose to do something about it. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. You can carry that through the rest of your life. Listen, I called the Sheriff's Department, the Charlton County Sheriff's Department, 100 times and said, they're selling drugs right out behind my house. There's 3 vacant lots, and they're selling drugs there every day. Every day, every day, they're selling drugs back there. You can catch them anytime you want to go hide out in the woods. You think they come do anything about it? No, they'll be gone by the time we get there. Or you call us the next time. And I called them the next time. Well, you call us the next time. You know what I did? I said, look, I'm going to take care of it myself. I got an M4, one of those crazy assault rifles, and I walked back there and just waited. When they pulled up to sell the drugs, I said, what are you doing here? If you're here to sell drugs, you're about to get hurt. And guess what? You can go there today, and you can go there tomorrow, and you go there the next day, and there ain't going to be nobody selling drugs. Because, listen, it's a mentality. You're either going to lay down and be a victim, or you're going to walk with the man who has strength. That's all that's going to be in this life. You say, boy, old so-and-so's a good leader. Then really, if so-and-so's a good leader, it's because he's adopted the attitude of this man right here that we're reading about. It's a position of strength. It's not a position of weakness. Now, we know in our flesh we're weak. In our flesh we can do nothing. But listen, we're not talking about walking a fleshly life. We're talking about living a spiritual life. Some of the problems you've got right now in your life, you would win. You would overcome. So Jesus is just going to magically do it all. From time to time, he will do it all. But listen, right now the difference between winning and losing is because you hadn't stepped up to the plate yet. Just get up and do something about it. Amen. And we say, well, what if I get the black eye? Then wear the black eye like a badge of courage. Amen. Amen. Just take all the black eyes you need to take, but don't sit down and get run over. Don't sit down and let life run you over. This man that's heading towards the promised land, he is traveling in the greatness of his strength. Now, my strength is not in myself. Just because you can beat up a bully don't mean nothing. But my strength comes from that book. Right. My strength comes from a prayer life. My strength comes from, listen, part of it comes from just being raised right. Yeah. Being raised. Listen, so, mom and daddy used to say, stand up for yourself, son. Stand up for yourself. Well, that's good preaching, but how to perform it, I just don't know. Amen. I just didn't know. I was too little, too scared. But you know what I found out? Following their advice worked. Some of you have come to church every Sunday, and you've heard me say, pray. Pray. That's just like my mama saying, swing for his jaw, son. Swing for his jaw. But listen, hey, when I'm telling you to pray, I'm telling you, look your troubles dead in the face and swing at it a couple of times. Fight back. One fella asked me one time, he said, hey, I'm addicted to pornography. What can I do? I said, fight it like a mad dog. Fight it like it's got its fingers around your throat. Fight it with everything you got. Learn to hate it. Hey, forget how to love it and learn how to hate it. All of us need that. In some area of our lives, all of us need that. For some people, it's smoking. For some people, it's other kinds of addictions. But if you're going to fight it, you're going to have to travel in strength, not weakness. Don't just sit down, throw up your hands. Oh, I guess we're going to lose this time. No, you ain't going to lose this time. Get up and fight. Get up and fight. That's what you got to do. Otherwise you lose. This man we're following, he's traveling in the greatness of his strength. And then when he answers the question, he says, I'm the one that speaks in righteousness. Try to improve your vocabulary. And I'm not talking about learning bigger words. I'm talking about learning better words. Did you know the book of Hebrews is about better things? Yeah. You know that Jesus Christ, when He come, He was speaking better things. Better things. You know, it's fun to talk about football. I grew up loving football. I loved football. I love the Marine Corps. I didn't go to college, so a lot of times when I'm preaching, I don't talk about things that happened in college. I talk about things that happened in the Marine Corps. But did you know this? Listen, there's better things to talk about than football. There's better. Listen, all this stuff down here is finite. It's going to pass away. It's going to perish. And really, all this stuff that we're talking about. Listen, my favorite car is a 66 Chevelle Supersport. But there's only so much you can say about that. Huh? Listen, you wouldn't believe the conversations that you hear on a regular basis. I mean, people get on Facebook and talk all day about how good Coke is. Brother Mark, the funniest thing he ever said in preaching was, "I wish that burger was mine." You know, people get up and put the pictures up, and it's really none of nobody's business. If you want to take pictures of your hamburgers and put it on, hey, put them on there all day long. But listen, there's better things in this world to talk about than the stuff we take up our time with. Oh, well, that beagle, it sure does run good, and it runs this way, and it barks like this, and he's got but listen, when I was a boy, running those beagles, chasing those rabbits, man, they would just sit around the campfire. Did you see what that beagle done? Yeah, I was there. But really, the things of this world consume so much of our attention and consume so, we enjoy these things, but there's better things to talk about. I enjoy football. I enjoy playing football. I enjoy throwing it and catching it and all that stuff, but that's only, it's so superficial. It's so superficial. It really is. It really is. I mean, I used to love German Shepherd dogs so much till I got three of them. There's only so much you can take. There's only so many things that can get chewed up before you're like, I'm just going to go get my 9mm and solve all these problems right now. But you know, the more you talk about Jesus, the more you talk about the Lord, the more you get up here and sing and cry, the more you come to service and just for no apparent reason, grown men break out in tears. Listen, the more of that you can get, the better. It's just better. Yeah. Amen. Hey, remember when we was having that service and people just started crying and going to the altar? Listen, people get so upset. I've heard people in the last 6 or 8 months talk about it's bad to go to the altar. Is it really? How about let's go to the bar? How about let's go smoke a joint? What do you mean it's bad to go to the altar? Shut your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. You ain't got a spiritual bone in your body. I don't care if it's the altar or your coffee table or your closet. Listen, getting down on your knees and talking to God, that's better things, boy. It's speaking in righteousness is what it is. I mean, what'd you learn in your Bible this week? Boy, I learned about this, this, and this. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. When's the last time you had that conversation? I've actually heard preachers, men that stand in this pulpit and make a living preaching in the pulpit, making fun of younger preachers because all they want to talk about when they get together for fellowship is, what did you learn in the Scripture? What did God show? This fellow was saying, this guy was talking to me the other day, and he said, "Brother, what did you learn in the Scriptures this week?" And he thought that was a bad thing. He thought that was idiot. He thought that was beneath him. Boy, listen, if you can't talk with other people about what you learned in the Bible this week, then it probably means you didn't learn nothing in the Bible this week. That's probably what it means. Amen? And you say, why don't people in the congregation read their Bible more? Because people in the pulpit ain't reading theirs. That's what it is. People learn how they're being led, right? Well, this man that's leading us here, he speaks in righteousness. Learn to talk about better things. How about that? Listen, you know why we talked about depression last week. There is no just one cause for depression, but I'll tell you this, one of it's just what you dwell on. Huh? We talked about a couple different causes for it last week because we heard about a man that took his own life because he was depressed. I'll tell you something about depression. You're thinking about bad things instead of good things. Start talking about better things. Listen, I guarantee you this, some of you godly, born-again, Bible-believing Christians sit around and listen to Rush Limbaugh all week, talk about how bad everything is. Listen, I got news for you. This world is bad, but I'm going to heaven. That ain't bad. Yes. I'm saved. Listen, God saved me. Yes. That ain't bad. Hey, I used to be a drunkard. I mean, fifth of Jack Daniels a day drunkard when I was in the Marine Corps. That ain't me no more. Why? Because God delivered me from that. Amen. You say, well, this whole world's going to hell and the Democrats are going to ruin everything. They ain't going to ruin nothing for me.
Right.
They might take our guns. Did you know Christianity survived without the Constitution of the United States for 1,700 years?
Yeah. Right.
What you going to take from me? You ain't going to take nothing from me. You take a gun, I got a sword. It don't run out of bullets. That's why they'll eventually try to get rid of this. But they can't do nothing with this. Listen, if they burnt one of us, it'd cause 100,000 more converts. That's the way it happened in the past. They said, we're going to burn these old Christians and we're going to get rid of them. And they'd burn one and the whole town would get converted. What you going to do with the whole town? Huh? See, most of you Christians think you got it bad because you're living in a bad time. Hey, we're right before the coming of the Lord. We got it good.
Amen.
We've got it good, amen?
Yep.
Listen, everybody walking around, things are so bad. I don't know why nobody comes to church anymore because you got your big lips stuck out every Sunday. Ain't nobody want none of that.
Amen.
Huh? Ain't that right? Sure it is. Sure it's right. And then he says, mighty to save. I'm glad I'm saved, amen?
Yeah.
I'm glad that all these things that I just said God delivered me from, I'm glad he delivered me from, but there's only one person that's able to do it.
Yes.
Muhammad ain't able to do it. All he can do is convince you to cut somebody else's head off.
Right.
Muhammad's a false prophet.
Right. Amen?
Amen? Yeah. Listen, our own government gets mad when people burn Korans. But if you put a cross in a vat full of urine, they call that art. I say this week we all go to a bookstore and buy a Koran, just burn them all out in the yard next week. Just to be offensive.
Yeah.
Amen? You said that's not the right attitude. Well, what is the right attitude? Lay down, let somebody put their foot on your neck? Is that right? I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right at all. The Lord was mighty to save. Muhammad ain't done nothing. Muhammad ain't done nothing. The Pope ain't done nothing.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Bible says the Bible connects him right with hell.
Yeah.
Amen. A lot of people going this morning and they're going to kneel down in front of an altar and they're going to eat a cookie and have somebody wave the sign of the cross over them and they're going to go back outside just as guilty as they was when they come in. Their heart's going to be as grief stricken as it was before they come in. They're going to lay their head on their pillow at night and feel just as bad in their conscience as they did this morning. But the moment that I sit down on this altar and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and that his blood washed away my sins, I got up and felt no guilt. And felt no shame and felt nothing that would cause me to think that God hadn't done what he promised that he would do. No regret since then. Never been ashamed of it. Hey, there's never been a reason for me to say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have got saved. Boy, I wish I wouldn't have got saved. That's something you just don't hear true born again people say. You say, why? Because when Jesus saves, he's mighty to save. He does a good job. Through and through. Save to the uttermost. You get somebody that can save you all the way down to the uttermost, you got somebody that can save you right. Amen. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. And maybe it went a little bit long, but I don't know. I think we need to hear about this man that come to die for our sins and save us, God, to the uttermost. Your son, who you sent to be a propitiation for our sins, a payment, an appeasement, God, that would take away your wrath. And I thank you for it. Thank you, God, that you're a God that'll lead us to the right place. Thank you, God, that you'll teach us how to navigate this world, God, correctly, whether it be our dress, whether it be our speech, whether it be the manner in which we interact with the world. Whatever it is, God, we know that following you, we have the right example. We have the right Bible. We have the right direction in our lives. We have the right spirit, God, to interact with our spirit and tell us that we are your sons. God, everything you've done for us, you've done well. And we want to thank you for it. Thank you for your many mercies and your many graces in our lives. Lord, help us as we go to our homes. Watch over us, guide us, and protect us, and bring us back again at the next appointed hour. And we'll thank you for it. Forgive me, oh God, for any imperfection in my sermon, anything that I didn't say as well as I should have said it. Lord, I pray you'd take these ideas and make them real in the hearts of the people. What I can't do, you certainly can do. My lack of preparation, God, does not bar you from using your word effectively. And I pray, oh God, that you would use your word, God, to do the work that you sent it to do. And I'll thank you, God, for everything that you do. Lord, any heart that's here that's far from you, I pray you'd help them to draw nigh to you. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming this morning.